This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome everybody to a juz a day. Today we are covering the 13th juz. The 13th juz of the Quran begins with surah number 12, surah Yusuf, ayah number 53, and ends with surah Ibrahim at the very end of surah Ibrahim. Surah Ibrahim is surah number 14. So it has the last part of surah 12, all of surah 13, and all of surah 14. And this is the part in the Quran where the surahs overtake the juz number, right? Previously, like the 12 juz, you had the 11th surah, right? But now in the 13th juz, you have the 12th, 13th, 14th surah. And then this is the time when the surahs overtake the juz. Alhamdulillah. So that is what we have on plan for today. However, as I mentioned yesterday, I decided, and I generally don't like to talk about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam over two separate days, because it is a phenomenal surah and a phenomenal story, and it deserves that we talk about it all together at one time. And that is what we'll be doing today, inshallah ta'ala. So we'll pick up at the very beginning of surah 12, ayah number 1. Let's start there. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam ra. Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Alif lam ra. These are the verses from the clear book. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. We have sent down the Quran in Arabic so that you may understand. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. We recount to you the best of narratives in revealing this Quran to you, even though you were unaware of it before it came down. The Prophet ﷺ is being told, this is the best of narratives, the best story, okay, that we're about to tell you. And you did not know this, O Prophet ﷺ, before. There was no way for you to acquire this knowledge previously, because you were someone who did not know how to read or write, and your people, these were not, stories, or these are not incidents that were mentioned by your people. So this was something that was unknown to you. Just give me one second, please. Excuse me one second. Let me see something on the camera here. All right. Let's try again. All right. There's still something on my camera. I don't know what's going on. No problemo. Khalas. We will have to deal with that later. Okay. In kunta min qablihi la min al-ghafilin. You were unaware of it before. Okay. The story begins. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. Oh my father, oh my father, I have when Joseph, I saw 11 stars and the sun and the moon, I saw them prostrate themselves before me. I saw them making sajda before me. Okay, this is an imagery of the 11 stars, the sun and the moon. This imagery, well, at the very beginning of the surah, this image is mentioned. And as we'll see, the image of the surah, the image of these 11 stars, the sun and the moon, will be mentioned at the end of the surah again. Okay, keep this one, this image in mind. There's a couple of images that are used in the surah to make a beautiful point, to kind of connect the story together. You can call them like anchors of the story. One of them is the 11 stars, the sun and the moon, okay? The other one is the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, which is coming soon. قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَقْصُصُ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَى إِخْوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He replied, my son, do not relate your dream to your brothers, lest they plot an evil against you. Satan is the sworn enemy of man. وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. This is what Ya'qub is saying to his son, Yusuf, okay? He says, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. You shall be chosen by your Lord, okay? Ya'qub realizes what this dream means. He realizes this dream means, oh, my son, you are going to be a prophet. But he doesn't tell his son. All he tells his son Yusuf is, you will be chosen by your Lord, and he will impart to you some understanding of the inner meaning of events, of dreams. You will be given the ability to interpret dreams. This is a very important thing. This is a, this is an art, but it's not like a dark art or something, but this is something that you use, scriptural basis and also just, intuition together to do this. Okay. Yusuf al-Islam was given this as a form of revelation to him. Okay. He was given the ability to explain the meaning of dreams and predict the future based on those dreams, because some of these dreams were foreshadowing the future. But they are, as we will see, there's going to be four dreams that are talked about in the surah. They're foreshadowing the future. And Yusuf al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yaqub says he will be given by Allah the ability to tell, to interpret the dreams and thus predict the future correctly. And this was one of the gifts that Allah gave to his prophet Yusuf. Okay, he will bestow the full measure of his blessings upon you and upon the house of Jacob, even as he formerly bestowed it in full measure upon your forefathers, Abraham and Isaac. Truly your sustainer, your Lord is all-knowing and all-wise. Surely in Joseph and his brothers, there are signs for the inquirers. All right, this story is so awesome. We're going to actually talk about it in a couple of ways, okay? We're going to talk about it, number one, in its structure, okay? We're going to talk about it, firstly, in the structure of the surah, okay? That's the first thing we'll talk about. Second thing we'll talk about is a pattern in the surah, okay? The pattern of the surah is difficulty ease, like oscillating between the two. Talk about that. Number three, we'll talk about the imagery in the surah. I already told you the image about the 11 stars, the sun, the moon, and the image particularly of the shirt. It has a very, very important implication. And number four, we're going to talk about Yusuf al-Islam's ability to predict the future as something that Allah gave him as part of a revelation to him. Okay, his intellect and his ability to put things together. Right, we're gonna touch on these four things, inshallah. First, let's talk about the structure of the surah. Here is what we will say about the structure of the surah. The structure of the surah is as follows. Yusuf alayhi salam sees a dream. Okay, then Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers plot against him. Ayah number 8, as we will see, ayah number 8, the brothers are plotting against him. Surely Joseph and his brother Benjamin are dearer to our father than ourselves, even though we are a band. Truly our father is clearly mistaken. This is the thing that you see there, that they're plotting. Uqtulu Yusuf, ayah number 9. Let us put Joseph to death. Or cast him away to some far-off land so that your father's attention should turn only to us and you can thereafter become a righteous people. This is their plan. Their plan is, or their plot against Yusuf is to kill him or send him away because they were jealous that their father loves Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam, more than them, right? And these are grown men. They're still jealous of their younger brother, right? That shows you that there's a lack of maturity here. And it's so much so that it has become a vice. It's become immoral. They're thinking of murdering their brother. How pathetic. Okay. The minister's wife's attempt to seduce Yusuf. Okay. Here's the thing. You see in the story, Yusuf alayhi salam is not killed. One of them said, let's not kill him, but let's actually throw him in a well. So, ayah number 15. So they went away with him and decided to cast him in the dark depths of a well. And then we revealed to him our will. You shall one day tell them of this deed of theirs when they do not realize who you are. Again, see the foreshadowing, prediction of the future. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Yusuf it's going to happen. This is one of the things that's special about Yusuf alayhi salam. All right. They came to their father saying, Father, you know, we were playing, we were racing, but Joseph, we left him with our belongings. فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئِبُ. The wolf devoured him. That you would not believe us, even though we're telling the truth. And here is the first instance of the imagery of the shirt. Ayah number 18. They showed him their brother's shirt, stained with false blood. No. قَالَ بَلْ صَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Your souls have tempted you to do something evil, but it is best to be patient. God alone can help me bear the loss you speak of. Okay. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, these brothers of his, they have betrayed him. This is one of the story. This is one of the things that we find in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. He was betrayed by those who are supposed to care for him. This is going to happen to him twice. He was betrayed by those who are supposed to protect him. Here he is, instance number one, betrayed by those who are supposed to protect him. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring about, after this difficult moment, he is in the darkness of a well, waiting to die or waiting to be enslaved. What ends up happening? He gets enslaved as a group of people are passing by. But what happens is, this is a very difficult thing. But from that difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about ease. What is the ease that Allah brings about? He is purchased not by some slaver who wants to, you know, run him ragged in the fields. He's purchased by an honorable man. And this honorable man doesn't actually want him to be like a slave who works in the fields or does labor. He wants him to become an aristocrat, a part of the nobility. Okay? This is something that's interesting, by the way. Historically, you would have... this is not like a condoning of the practice, but you would have slavery outside of the Americas was not race-based. It was actually more class-based, okay? And if you if you have a slave that is, that, you know, it's not very, comes from a situation where they're not very intelligent perhaps, or they're not, there's not a lot of good things that they could do, they would be put to the fields and they would be working. Okay, but a slave that was intelligent would actually be sheltered from that and would be treated or would be trained to become part of the leadership of the community, right? If you look at just in recent history, this is more ancient history, but recent history was even the Ottoman Empire, the army generals of the Ottoman Empire, by and large, were slaves. The Janissaries, they were slaves, actually. But they were generals of the army of the caliphate. This is how things were for them. Anyway, so Yusuf alayhi salam here, but this wasn't the case, by the way, in the American slavery. American slavery was the most brutal, the most evil, vile form of slavery that had ever existed, because that was pure exploitation and purely based on race and nothing but humiliation. Anyway, this man, after that difficult moment, he lost his family, betrayed by his brothers, doesn't know what's going on, he's a young child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about ease. What's the ease? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about that he is rescued by a caravan, but then sold to slavery, difficult times, but then adopted as a noble slave. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِمِ السَّرَى لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَهُ. The Egyptian who bought him said to his wife, lodge him honorably. He may prove of benefit to us, or we may even adopt him as our son. Thus we establish Joseph in the land so that we may teach him the true meaning of events. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. This was the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give him. This was his gift. This was his revelation, to be able to interpret the dreams so he can predict the future. All right. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. God has power over all things. But most people don't know this. And this is such a beautiful statement. Like, you think, there's a statement that the Christians say that God works in mysterious ways. I don't like that statement, right? We don't say God works in mysterious ways. We say God has power over all things. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. You have to trust him. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. You don't realize what his plan is. That doesn't mean that he's mysterious. You don't know. We don't know as humans, right? Our ability to perceive is very narrow and very limited, and it's overshadowed often by our emotions and our biases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all that, right? He has perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom. So we actually say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things. and we trust him. We don't recognize or realize the wisdom right now, but be certain there is a wisdom. Be sure there is some, after that difficulties, there's going to be some ease. After that tough situation, there's going to be some relief. We are certain of that. Okay, so that's what we believe when it comes to our faith. Now, here is, you see, he was sold into, as you see, he's oscillating between difficulty and ease. Separated from the family. Let me show this to you here. Where is it? Right there. Yes, separated from his family, rescued by the caravan. Difficulty, ease. Sold into slavery, difficulty, followed by ease, adopted as a noble slave. Okay, now, let's go back to, as he became older, he became, أَتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Ayah number 22, we bestowed on him right judgment and knowledge. Okay, what Allah bestowed upon him was extremely good looks, extremely handsome. He was unimaginably beautiful, Yusuf alayhi salam. Okay, but that's not what the Quran praises. The Quran does not praise his physical beauty. The Quran praises his inner beauty, his sound mind, his knowledge, right? That's what's praiseworthy. Your appearance, you know, a person doesn't really have any control over their appearance, right? You know, like, I don't have any control over the way I look, right? How my face is. That's just how Allah created me. But I do have control over judgment and knowledge and work ethic and acquiring knowledge and putting it all together and being a better person because I have learned something. All of us have that ability. All of us have that opportunity. That is what Allah praises about Yusuf alayhi salam. But because he was so incredibly handsome and beautiful and also extremely wise, beautiful on the inside, extremely beautiful on the outside, the lady who was supposed to be his guardian, really in the place of his mother, she fell in love with him and wanted to have an affair with him. Okay, the minister's wife's attempt to seduce Yusuf, ayah 23. وَرَابَدَتُهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. The woman in whose house he lived in, right? This is a very interesting expression. He had nowhere else to go. He was in her house, wanted to seduce him. He had no escape. So one day she bolted the doors and said, come, right? She wanted to engage in an affair with him. He replied, God forbid, truly your husband is my master and has treated me honorably. Wrongdoers certainly will never prosper. You know, you should not forget the favors that people have done you, right? This is what Yusuf alayhi salam is teaching us. And his expression is very beautiful. Innahu rabbi ahsana mathwai. This is actually something you can say about both his master, her husband, and also both about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind to me. This is one of the things that you'll notice about Yusuf alayhi salam, the attitude of gratitude that Yusuf alayhi salam has. And we'll see that also later on in Surah Ibrahim, the attitude of gratitude of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Despite all the tragedy he suffered, he doesn't say, how come this happened to me, Allah? How come this? How come me? I was a good person. I was a child. I was a boy. Nothing. He's like, alhamdulillah, Allah has taken care of me. Allah has brought me into a good situation. Trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Yusuf al-Islam is showing. So he's saying, innahu, indeed, he is my master. Allah is my master and he's been very good to me. Your husband is my master. He's been very good to me as well. All right. So the plot of the wife of Yusuf, you know, she tried to seduce him. They actually had like a struggle. He's running away. She's running after him. She is, you know, in a way kind of lost her mind in love for Yusuf. And then she rips his shirt from the back. And as she does so, her husband is there at the door. Now she flips the script and she says, look, he's trying to, you know, rape me. He's trying to have, he's trying to be intimate with me and trying to violate me. What are you going to do about it? Right? Now Yusuf alayhi salam is going to defend him, but he's a slave. He said, she's the one who seduced me. I didn't do anything. But now you see, as you notice, there is difficulty and there is ease. The difficulty is she's seduced by the minister's wife and accused of seducing. All right. His word doesn't mean anything in the court of law. The minister is going to take his wife's word. You know, even if he knows his wife is wrong, to avoid embarrassment. But with the difficulty comes ease. What's the ease? وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا Ayah 26. It was one of her household testified. One of her relatives said, if his shirt is torn at the front, then she is speaking the truth and he's lying. But if his shirt is torn from the back, she is lying and he's telling the truth. Why? What's the logical, how is this evidence? If the shirt is torn from the front, that means he was the one who was, you know, approaching her and she was, you know, trying to protect herself. She tore his shirt. But if it's torn from the back, that means he was running away and she was pursuing him. And that's why the shirt is torn from the back. And of course, they saw the shirt was torn from the back and they recognized that this is the lady. إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنَّ إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ This is the guile of you women. Your guile is great indeed. Yusuf أعرض عن هذا. Yusuf, overlook this. Don't say this. Don't tell anybody about this, Yusuf. Okay? Just brush it under the carpet. This is an embarrassment for the family of the Aziz. Right? Difficulty followed by ease. But then it doesn't end there. The wife of the Yusuf, the word gets out. Right? The word gets out. Ayah number 30. The women in the town are gossiping about how Yusuf's, the wife of the minister, wanted to seduce her slave and embarrassing, humiliating situation. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّ Her love for him consumes her heart. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Okay, well, now the wife of Yusuf is going to show the Egyptian ladies what's really up. And then the Egyptian ladies will make a similar attempt at Yusuf. Ayah number 31. Okay. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأَ When she heard of their intrigues, she sent for them and prepared a party for them. She gave a knife to each of them to cut fruits and then asked Joseph to appear before them. All right. Now here he comes. And as I told you, he was unimaginably beautiful, alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ When the women saw him, they were amazed at his beauty. Okay. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ And they cut their hands. وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ They said, God preserve us. مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ This is no human being but a noble angel. The scholars explain, they cut their hands. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ What, like, why are they doing this? The Quran doesn't really tell us why they're doing it, but there's some speculation by the scholars, and I think it's worthwhile mentioning. One is that they were mesmerized, so they had fruit and they had knives. They were mesmerized by Yusuf alayhi salam that they weren't even able to look away from him, and in the process of trying to cut fruit, they started to cut their hands and didn't even realize until, you know, it was bloody that they cut their hands. Okay? That is one interpretation. The other interpretation is that a lady cut her hand and Yusuf went and immediately tried to tend to her because she's bleeding. And then guess what? The next one is like, I'll cut my hand and you come tend to me. And the next one's like, okay, I'll cut my hand, you come tend to me. So what exactly happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But there is a reason for them to cut their hands was either they were just completely blown away, which is what the ayah says, or also, so blown away that they didn't even realize they were cutting not the fruit but their head. Or also maybe to get his attention. Okay, and probably both of those things are true. Wallahu a'lam. All right. So now the similar attempt is made by the Egyptian ladies. They have made this attempt on Yusuf alayhi salam to seduce him. Now, what happens? He is now thrown in prison. Ayah 35. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُدُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينٍ Now the people are like, the nobles are like, something's got to be done about this Yusuf. He is like, all our wives are in love with him. So what do we do about him, right? Yusuf had an option. He had the option of just having an affair with the wife of the minister and everything is okay, right? But he said, no. رَبِّ السَّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا تَدُعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ Oh my Lord, I would prefer prison to what these women are inviting me to do. This is true character. This is true strength of character, right? You stand by your principles. We are in Islam, we're a principled people. Our principle is we don't engage in intimacy outside of marriage. outside of what Allah has made halal. And even if the opportunity is there, even if it's easy and tempting, even if not just easy and tempting, you're almost held at gunpoint to be intimate with this lady, you still don't do it. Okay, because it's a immorality. It is a violation. It's a violation. And we don't engage in that. And he says, I would rather go to prison, O Allah, than do this for no crime. Okay. But he also recognizes he's a human being. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ If you do not avert their guile from me, I may yield to them and so become one of the ignorant. I'm a human being, O Allah. I don't have infinite power. If you don't help me and you don't protect me, I may end up giving up and may end up giving in to the pressure that they're putting on me. But then, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And he ended up in prison. Imprisonment of Yusuf alayhi salam, number 35. Okay, well, you see the plot is developing. Yes, it's still developing. Okay, now let's go back to the... Remember I told you, we'll talk about the structure and the oscillation between ease and difficulty. Here, he's thrown in prison for no crime. He didn't do anything. He did not do anything. And that's one of the worst things to happen to a person. That they didn't do anything and they're in prison for something they never did. That's one of the worst travesties of justice. Okay. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with difficulty, brought about ease. What's the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about for him? Number one, he gave da'wah in prison. This is something you can read. Ayah number 37. He's in prison and two men are asking him about their dream. Okay. Again, this dream, when he interprets it, it's a prediction of the future. Okay. But before he tells them about the interpretation of the dream, he says about who he is and why he's able to do this. He says, I follow the religion of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ayah 38, right? It is not for Allah, it's not for us, excuse me, that we associate anyone with God as a partner, right? SubhanAllah. And he makes a logical argument. He says, my fellow prisoners, أَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ Who's better? Different diverse lords, right? This concept of, you know, polytheism. Is this better? Does that make sense? Or one powerful supreme lord who is in charge of everything. And because he's in charge of everything, there is order all around us. What's better? You have no proof of what you worship. These are just names. You have named them arbitrarily, okay? And then he, of course, gives them the meaning of what their dream is. Well, he says, one of you is going to die and one of you is going to live, okay? One of you is going to live and actually become a courtier in the court of the king. You would serve him wine. And the other one is going to be crucified and is going to be eaten up by the birds. Like the scavengers will eat from his dead body. That's what's going to happen, okay? His dream came true and he told the man who was going to be saved, tell the king I was able to predict the future. He wanted a way out, but this man forgot. In fact, the Quran says, "Ansahu Shaytan." Shaytan made him forget to mention to his master, so Joseph remained in prison for a number of years. Okay, thrown in prison for no crime. This is a tragedy, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the opportunity. With that came ease. He gave da'wah in prison. But then comes the king's dream, ayah 43. Ayah number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the king sees the dream. Remember, I said there were four dreams, right? The 11 stars, sun and the moon. That dream was still to come as interpretation. The other two dreams were the dreams of these two men in prison. One of them is serving alcohol. Sorry, this is his dream right here. Ayah number 36, one of them it says, I am pressing wine. The other says, I am carrying bread on my head and birds are eating from it. These are the two dreams he interpreted. The one who is pressing wine, you're going to be saved from prison and you'll become a courtier in the court of the king. The one, the bread eating one, you're going to die and birds are going to eat your head. But the fourth dream and the one that's going to be the get out of jail card for Yusuf alayhi salam is this one. وَالْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ The king said, I saw in a dream seven fat cows. Okay, this means like healthy cows. there's marbled meat. يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعٌ عِجَافٌ with seven lean ones were eating. Seven lean cows are eating seven fat cows. That's the dream he's seeing. وَسَبْعَ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُضْرٍ and seven green ears of corn and أُخَرَ يَابِسَاتٍ and seven others that were dry. He's like, oh, my quarters, I see this. Oh, nobles, I see this dream. Tell me, what does this dream mean? This is a very strange dream, if you can tell. They're like, we don't know. In adghathu ahlam, confusing dreams. It's just something your mind made up, maybe, or we don't really know how to interpret dreams. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمِينَ All right. At this point, the man who was saved by the interpretation of the dream, right, remembers, there's the guy named Yusuf. Yusuf, Ayyuha Siddiq. He's the one who can interpret the dreams. Tell us the meaning of the dream, O Yusuf. What does it mean? Seven lean cows are eating seven fat cows. Okay. Yusuf alayhi salam, right? He's not upset. He had reason to be upset. He could be like, hey, how come you came now? Huh? All these years you were saved and I told you to tell the king about me and now you come to me for another favor. What's up with that? That's not good manners. That's not, you know, makarimul akhlaq. That's not nobility and honor. Yusuf alayhi salam. And frankly, logically speaking, it doesn't get you anywhere, right? If you are trying to pursue your freedom, saying that is not going to help you, even though you have the right to say it, but sometimes it's not going to help. So Yusuf alayhi salam exercises his wisdom and pursues this and also exercises and demonstrates his nobility and honor by, you know, not mentioning and not humiliating this man. And you'll see this is his character. He did not humiliate this man. He will not humiliate his brothers when he finally meets them. Okay, that is not his character. And that shouldn't be the character of the believer. The believer shouldn't be the person who seeks to humiliate those who have wronged him. That's not the character of the believer. That's not something that we should be. All right, he says, this means what? You shall sow for seven consecutive years as usual, but leave in the ear the harvest that you reap, except a little that you may eat, right? Like, don't eat everything you that you reap for 7 years, store it away, okay? Because 7 years late, because after those 7 years will come 7 years of great hardship, of famine, that will consume all but a little of what you stored. Those 7 years that you spent saving, the next 7 years will consume it. That's the seven lean cows eating up the seven fat cows. Okay, that's how he tells the dream or interprets the dream. And after that, there's going to be a year when there's going to be abundant rain, and then people will again have they will press, meaning they could press oil and wine, and you know, they can be, you know, there's abundance of food again. All right, he interprets the dream. The king is very impressed. The king is like, wow, who is this guy? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Ayah number 50, Yusuf's release from prison. When the man came, messenger came, said, okay, Yusuf, you're free. Yusuf alayhi salam, again, is a man of honor and dignity. And he says, I'm not going to leave here with my name being slandered. My name must be cleared. Ask these ladies, you know, to clear my name first before I come out, right? Look how bold that move is. Right, any one of us would like jump at the chance to take our freedom after spending, you know, over a decade, even more, for in prison for nothing, right? But Yusuf al-Islam is like, nope, I want my name cleared and then I'll come out, right? That's, again, it's the highest level of, you know, strength of character that you can have to be someone like that, okay? The woman, of course, said, Hasha lillah. Of course, we know no evil of him. The women, this is one of the beautiful things about the story of Yusuf al-Islam, is that it's not like Fir'aun and Musa. Good, it's not good and evil, right? There's people who did good, and then there's, you know, the people who did something bad, but they're not extremely evil people. They recognize that there's something wrong, and they are able to confess for their mistakes. And the wife of the Aziz also confessed. She's like, look, he was truthful. I was the one who seduced him. Was my fault. She confessed. I mean, it was a decade or so late, but at least she confessed, right? At least there's some semblance of justice served. Okay. So Yusuf alayhi salam is now released from prison. Walhamdulillah. The ladies confess, ayah number 51. Okay. So you see, again, difficulty thrown in prison, but eventually he is freed, and not just freed and cleared, but then he is honored as a minister. The king said, bring him to me, I will take him for special service. Okay, and you will be trusted and honored. But Yusuf alayhi salam is like, okay, how about you make me the minister? اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم, because I am good and knowledgeable. This is actually an interesting statement. إني حفيظ عليم. He's not bragging, right? But he's not going to sell himself short either. There's a fine line of being confident without being obnoxious and arrogant. He's confident. He's like, I know, alhamdulillah, I have the knowledge and I am trustworthy. I'm good at this. I can do it. And the king grants him that. So he comes out of prison, free, cleared of all his of all the slander that was done against him. All the people, the women who got him in trouble, they all confessed. And now he is elevated to be the minister of agriculture. You can argue the second most important position in the whole country, in the whole empire, right after the king. Because, he is going to be literally rationing the food of every single person in the nation. Subhanallah, how he rises from the ashes, Yusuf alayhi salam. Okay, now ayah number 52 is the confession of the wise of Yusuf. We saw that. Now the brothers, they come back. Wajaa ikhwatu Yusuf. Oh, by the way, before this, look, ayah number 56 says, thus we caused Yusuf, kadhalika makkanna li Yusuf fil ard لِيَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَى نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We do not allow the reward of the righteous to go to waste. If you are suffering, Allah will not waste your pain. It's not like He doesn't know you're suffering. He knows you're going through tough times. And He will not waste that pain of yours. He will reward you in this dunya. And the best of the rewards is in the next life. Wala ajrul akhirati khayrun lilladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. The dunya reward is good. The best reward is in the next life. So don't ever think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. Better than ourselves, actually. And the reward that He's going to give for us is immense and is going to be in proportion to our pain that we go through. Now come the brothers of Yusuf. They don't know who they're talking to, but he immediately recognizes his brothers. Okay, now the brothers. What happens? The brothers are told. I'll summarize this part, and then I'll go to the point in the story. The brothers are told, hey, you have a brother, another brother, right? Bring him. Ituni bi akhil lakum min abikum. Okay, and if you don't bring that brother, I am not going to give you any more grain. Now he has all authority, all the leverage. Okay. Now, what else does a trick that Yusuf play? He places their money back in their bags. Whatever they paid for the food, he kind of sneaks it back into the bags. So now when they go back, they have all the reason to come back, right? And when they have all the reason to come back, now they are going to be compelled to bring his brother Benjamin bin Yamin with him. By the way, Yaqub alayhi salam had two wives. From the first wife, he had 10 kids. The second wife, he had Yusuf and Binyamin. These 12 are the 12 heads of the Israelites. Okay. The 12 tribes of the Israelites. These are the 12 heads of them. Okay. Now, they said to the father, hey, father, we need to go and take Benjamin with us. He's like, let you take Benjamin when I trusted you with your brother before and you let me down. No way, right? But then now they found their money and they're like, father, قالوا يا أبانا, ayah 65, هذه بضاعتنا ردت إلينا. This is our money. Return to us. This is great. We'll get, two for the price of one. Please let us take our brother. ونميرو أهلنا. We are going to bring back food for our family. ونحفظو أخانا. And we are going to guard our brother. And we will obtain an additional camel load of grain. And that is, this is good. This is easy for us to do. Okay. Now Yaqub alayhi salam recognizes that, he can't stop them at this point. He's like, swear by Allah that you will protect him. And they swear by Allah that they will protect their brother. Okay, now Yusuf alayhi salam meets his brother, ayah 69. And he takes him aside. It says, قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكَ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Don't be distressed about what they're about to do. Come, I'm going to keep you with me. Don't worry what's going to happen. I got this. Okay. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam is going to plot to keep his brother with him. How so? He's going to take the king's drinking cup and frame his brother for stealing. Okay. And that's what he did. So the crier cried out, "Men of the caravan, you have committed theft." Innakum lasariqun. Qalu aqbalu alayhim ma tafqidun. They said, "What is it that you have lost?" They said, "We have lost nafqidu suwa' al-malik. We have lost the royal measuring bowl." I don't know if that's a good translation, but suwa' al-maliki is, you know, the king has like a special cup he drinks in. You know, like I have a nice cup that I like to drink coffee in, right? Imagine if you're a king, you would have a special cup too, right? So he's like, where's the king's cup? And whoever brings it back, we're going to give him an extra camel load of corn. Wow, that's nice, huh? That's a lot of corn for one cup. Okay, now they said, what happens if we find you guys to be guilty, right? He said, well, if you're guilty, whoever stole it, you keep him as a prisoner. All right, fine. فَبَدَعَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ Look how wise Yusuf al-Islam is. He's checking off every box. He's dotting all his I's and crossing all his T's. He's doing everything right. He frames his brother sneakily. Before he frames his brother, gives his brothers the incentive to come back, but the condition to bring back the brother that he wants to meet. Okay? Then he frames his brother. Then he starts with the other brothers first. Build up the suspense a little bit to make sure that everybody knows they didn't do anything. It was Benjamin bin Yamin who did it. And finally, they found bin Yamin having that and they captured him. Now, here is something very interesting. Very interesting. The brothers slander Yusuf alayhi salam. If he is a thief, a brother of his also committed theft before him. And again, you see Yusuf al-Islam's personality is not the one to humiliate, even though he is fully in charge. If he wanted them all executed, he can have them executed, right? That's how much power he has at this point. But his personality is not to humiliate anybody. But Joseph kept his secret and revealed nothing to himself. Revealed nothing to them. He said to himself, your deed was worse. God knows best of the things you speak, right? Like what you did was actually worse. Right? Now, this is a slander, right? That's a difficulty. That's an emotion. It's like someone stabbing you, right? It hurts. Even though it's words, but it hurts just as much as a physical wound. They're like, hey, king, please take one of us as like in place of him. فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ He has an old dad. He's going to like be very, very upset. He's going to be very, very saddened, right? Please, for the sake of his father. Like, no, this is, injustice. We're going to keep the person who stole. Now they are in a tough spot. They say, hey, go back to your father. I number 81. اِرْجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيكُمْ فَقُولُوا يَا أَبَانَا Father, your son has committed a theft. We testify only to what we know. How could we guard against the unforeseen? Okay. And they're like, ask the people of the city where we are living in and the caravan we traveled with. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ But here's the thing about the truth. If you lie and people recognize you lied, out goes your integrity with your lie. You have no integrity left. None. And then after that, even if you are truthful, people won't believe you. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ They're like, we're 100% telling you the truth. But Yaqub knows the lie before. He's not going to trust them now. He says the same thing. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّدَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا You have contrived a story again. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ I am going to be patient in the best, most beautiful way. But he says something now. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا Yaqub recognizes that maybe Allah is doing something behind the scenes. And he's like, maybe Allah is going to reunite me with everybody because he is full of knowledge and wisdom. SubhanAllah. Now, the brothers finally they're struggling. Yaqub alayhi salam says, "Oh my sons, do not despair. Do not despair. فَتَحَسَّسُ مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ. Go seek Joseph and his brother. And don't despair of God's mercy. إِنَّهُ لَا يَأْسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only those who deny the truth despair of God's mercy. Okay? Don't be like these people. Oh, my sons, go. And it's interesting, he mentions Yusuf here. He mentions Yusuf here. It's like he's either receiving revelation from Allah or he is able to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning to reunite him with Yusuf, and that's why this is happening to him. Okay, Yusuf alayhi salam. So this brother's slander, difficult thing, but the good thing that came after that is he was united with his younger brother and he was able to be with him. Alhamdulillah. Now the father loses eyesight during the recurrence of grief. Where is this? This is ayah number 84. He turned away from them crying, saying, "Alas for Joseph." His eyes went white with grief and he was filled with sorrow. Okay. What happened is he kept all the pain of Yusuf alayhi salam inside him, crying about it, but he wasn't able to share with anybody. Now his other son was lost. It's like the reopening of the wound, and the reopening of the wound has a very, very devastating effect. And the kind of pain, a person experiences, the pain of loss, the pain of anxiety, actually has sometimes an effect on the person's physical faculties. And here's an example of that with Yaqub alayhi salam. All right, the Yaqub alayhi salam loses eyesight, but then with that difficulty, some ease will come. What is the ease? They came. They said, the brothers came back and say, "We're sorry, our great exalted one. We have very little money. Please be charitable to us. Give us something. We are in a tough situation." And that's when he said, "Do you know what you did with Yusuf and his brother in ignorance?" Now they're like, "Yusuf, how come you know about Yusuf?" And then they, put two and two together. "Innaka la anta Yusuf. Are you Joseph?" He replied, "Ana Yusufu. Yes, I am Yusuf. And this is my brother. And God has been gracious to us. The truth is that God does not waste the reward of those who do good and are righteous and steadfast." Look at this again. The brothers learned their lesson. Ayah number 90. Yes. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. By God, most certainly God has raised you high above us, and we have indeed been guilty. Again, notice the people who did wrong confessed. They're like, "Yes, we were wrong. We're sorry." Yusuf alayhi salam says, "قال لا تثريب عليكم اليوم." As we have said, his habit is not to humiliate. His habit is not to embarrass. He says, "There shall be no blame upon you." It's like, this is water under the bridge. And we're going to move past it. I'm not going to mention it again. We are moving past this as a family. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. يغفر الله لكم. May Allah forgive you. He is the most forgiving of those, the most merciful of those who show mercy. This is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said too. When he finished the conquest of Mecca, and for 20 years those people fought him and persecuted his followers and hurt the Prophet ﷺ physically, hurt the Prophet ﷺ emotionally. All types of pain and suffering inflicted upon the Prophet ﷺ, and now he is victorious. And then he said, "What do you think I'm going to do to you people today, now that I won?" And they said, "Akhun Kareem, Ibn Akhin Kareem, you're a generous brother, and you're the son of a generous brother. Or now he's your brother, huh? All these years you fought him, and now he's your brother." Subhanallah. But the Prophet ﷺ said, "I'm going to say to you what Yusuf said to his brothers. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. This is no blame on you." And he forgave them all. The whole Quraishi leadership, everybody. The Prophet forgave them. And that is the example for us, brothers and sisters. That is the ideals that our Prophet ﷺ and our prophets like Yusuf ﷺ are teaching us. That they, despite being betrayed by those who were supposed to take care of him, they did not hold that against them. And they did not let that become, they did not become petty. And they did not become angry at the world or angry at God. That's not how Yusuf al-Islam was. And that shows you, that's the pinnacle of character. That's what, truly a great person is. Okay. Yusuf alayhi salam says, take my shirt. Remember the shirt? He says, take my shirt and put it on my father's face and he will recover his sight. And thereupon come back to me with your family. Right? So now a father loses eyesight due to recurrence of grief, but eventually, alhamdulillah, the family is reunited. And before they're reunited, the shirt is tossed on the face of the father and the eyesight of the father returns. And he said, I knew, didn't I tell you that I know from God what you do not know? The brothers are going to ask their father for an apology as well. They're going to apologize, excuse me, to their father as well. Said, oh, father, ask forgiveness for our sins. We were truly in the wrong, right? They've said this twice now. Inna kunna khati'een. And this is all you can expect of people. You did something wrong. No one's condoning that. But at least apologize. Apologize. Make things right. And that is what we learn from the brothers of Yusuf. And that's, you know, a good positive character trait that all of us should have. Now the family is reunited. Ayah number 99. Yusuf says, enter Misr. Enter Egypt. Welcome to Egypt in safety. And he raised his parents to al-arsh, the throne. Okay, family is reunited. After difficulty comes ease. After difficulty comes ease. You see the pattern? You see the pattern in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. But now, look at this as well. Yusuf's dream is interpreted. Ayah number 100. وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. He said, my father, this is the interpretation of my dream. My Lord has made it come true. قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّ وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. Allahu Akbar. He was kind to me. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. When he let me out of prison. He was never supposed to be in prison. He didn't say, how come Allah put me in prison? No, he says, Allah was kind to me that he took me out of prison. This is the attitude of gratitude. And brought you from the desert after Satan had brought about discord between me and my brethren. Subhanallah. He's not blaming his brothers. He's not throwing them under the bus. He's not humiliating them. He's like, this was done. You know, this was unfortunate. Shaitan came between us. But Allah is the most gracious that he brought us together. Look at how he's turning this, all that pain into something positive. This is truly, you know, prophetic character. Inna Rabbi Latifun Lima Yasha. My Lord is the best planner in achieving what he wills. Innahu huwal alimul hakim. He is all knowing and truly wise. Allahu Akbar. This is the dream of Yusuf interpreted. They all fell in sajda. That's 11 brothers, right? The father and the mother. 11 stars, the sun and the moon. That was the dream interpreted. Subhanallah, right? That was the fourth and final dream. It got interpreted and how it beautifully ties back to the beginning. Look at the structure. You see, this is a beautiful ring structure. Yusuf's dream, in the very beginning, at the very end, interpreted. Next was the brother's plot. Let me try to like zoom out here. You see how it's like exactly, like it's like a mirror image. It follows this trajectory. Yusuf's dream, the brother's plot, minister's wife attempts to seduce, the ladies make an attempt, Yusuf got imprisoned, the king's dream. And then, as if like, you know, like it's like you're rolling it and now you start unrolling it. The king's dream interpreted, Yusuf's relief from prison, confession of the ladies, confession of the wife of the minister, the brothers learn their lesson and their plot fails. And finally, the dream interpreted. Allahu Akbar. What an incredible, what an unbelievable structure. What a beautiful surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Truly the best of all stories. The shirt, right? You saw that in the beginning, it was false blood, right? The imagery of the shirt. It told Yaqub alayhi salam that Yusuf is alive. Minor relief that he got. He knew his son was alive because he knew the blood was false. The torn shirt, it saved Yusuf alayhi salam in that distressful moment when he was about to be, you know, like, cast as a rapist, a violating, ungrateful person. The torn shirt saved him again, relief. And the shirt restoring vision, ayah 93. Yaqub alayhi salam And again, it told Yusuf, Yaqub, that Yusuf is alive and well, and that's a major source of relief for him. Subhanallah, how amazing this surah is. And every time I study it, I think I come away with even more appreciation for it. So that was the structure. That was the, you know, look at the pattern of difficulty, ease, the imagery of the shirt. Those are the things I wanted to point out to you, alhamdulillah, with the surah. We will conclude this by looking at this ayah, ayah number 101. Look at this beautiful dua. Joseph prayed, Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk. You have given me power and taught me the interpretation of dreams. Creator of the heavens and the earth, you are my patron in this world and hereafter. Make me die in submission to you and admit me among the righteous. Make this dua, brothers and sisters. This is a dua. You should make this dua. 101, ayah number 101. That is the dua you should make. Tawaffani musliman. Oh Allah, let me live and die as a believer. Wa alhiqni bis-salihin. And when I am resurrected, oh Allah, make it so that I'm with the righteous. That's all we want, oh Allah. That's our goals in life. The surah concludes with two very powerful ayah. Hatta idha stay'asa rusul. When the messengers lost hope, right? This is a story that Allah SWT tells people. Messengers came, messengers suffered. Some of them lost hope and thought that they had been told lies, our help came to them, and we saved whoever we please, but our punishment will not be averted from the guilty. Sometimes Allah SWT pushes us to the brink, but never over the brink. Very pinnacle, or like the limit of our patience, when it reaches it, that's when Allah SWT brings about ease. That's what he did with the prophets, to show that is, he's there, but that test he's putting us through is making us better, more humble, more devoted to him. Alhamdulillah. In these stories, there's a lesson for the men of understanding. This Quran, ما كان هذا القرآن ما كان حديثا يفترى. It is not a speech and that it was invented, and no invented tale. ولكن تصديق الذي بين يدي, but a confirmation of the previous scripture, a detailed explanation of all things, as well as a mercy and guidance to the believers. Okay, let's look briefly at the other surahs here. We have a few minutes. We'll look through them quickly. Surah Ar-Ra'ad is surah number 13. Ar-Ra'ad is surah is named after this ayah. وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعَدُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Ayah number 13. وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعَدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. The thunder glorifies him with his praise, and the angels do so too in awe of him. And he sends down his thunderbolts to strike anyone he pleases, yet they dispute about God. وَهُوَ شَدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ. Who is inexorable in his power. His power is inexhaustible. Yet people dispute about who God is. The story of this surah is to recognize Allah. Recognize Allah through his signs. Recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the things that he has created. The thunder is an example of Allah's power, right? If you are in the open, the thunder will shock you. It will, you know, frighten you. It's a slight, small little glimpse of Allah's power and our insignificance. Yes, that's what it is. And if thunder is about to strike, we can't run away anywhere. It's so fast. It's a very small glimpse, a very beautiful example of truly Allah's ability and his power, and his ability to hold us accountable and take us to task and punish us if he wants to, but he doesn't. He is the most forgiving and most merciful, and he lets us, live without punishment until the day of judgment, and he will hold us accountable. And we pray for his forgiveness and grace on that day, right? This is a surah, ayah number 3. If you look at this surah, talks about هو الذي مد الأرض. He has spread out the earth, placed on it mountains and rivers and fruits of all kinds. زوجين اثنين, male and female pairs. يغشي الليل النهار. He drew the veil of night over day. إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. In all this, truly are signs for people who reflect. Reflect so you recognize who Allah is. وفي الأرض قطع متجاورات. On earth are diverse tracks adjoining one another. Vineyards. جنات من أعناب. Vineyards. وزرع. When cornfields, when a khil, palm trees, sinwanun, clustered dates, وغيرو sinwan, the ones that are not clustered or single and unclustered, clustered and unclustered, same thing. Sorry, يسقى بماء واحد, fruits are nourished by the same water. It's the same water that nourishes them. ويفضل بعضها على بعض في الأكل, yet they're different in taste. Yet they're different in texture. Yet some taste better than the others. Right? In this, there are signs for people who use their aql. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chooses to elevate people. Some He chooses to be His prophets. Others He chooses to be His believers, His servants. It is the choice of Allah. Just like He chooses these plants. The diversity of creation shows the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٍ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. We have to use our understanding though. It is the same. The source of life is singular. The water. The diversity is immense. The source of life is singular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. And the diversity is immense. How many beautiful parallels. Recognize Allah through these most beautiful signs of Allah all around you. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَىٰ ظُلْمِهِمْ, full of forgiveness of mankind despite their oppression and wrongdoings. But He can also be severe in punishment, and the Ra'ad is a very beautiful example of that, right? The Ra'ad, the thunder, is a example of Allah's power and might. Surah number 13 has a very beautiful example. Ayah 17. أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها. He sends down the water from sky, rain that fills the riverbeds to overflowing, each according to its measure. فاحتمل السيل الزبد الرابية ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله. The torrent carries along swelling foam akin to what rises from the smelted ore. From the tool from which man makes ornaments and tools. كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. Thus, God depicts the truth and falsehood. This is one of the most profound ayat of Quran. I want you to like mark it down with a pencil. Okay? فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. The scum is cast away. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. But whatever is of use to man remains behind. كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. Thus, God speaks in parables. One of the most incredible examples. What is it talking about? It's talking about how water, rain, floods riverbeds. Okay? Maybe you have not seen this in life. I have not seen either in life because we live in cities. We don't see flooding. It all goes down the drain, right? But you can see it on YouTube, alhamdulillah. Okay? What happens? It's up all the dirt. All the dirt and scum is lifted up. Okay, just like the dirt and scum is lifted up when you melt, you know, any metal, iron, right? Any gold, silver, you have to heat it up and then the impurities rise to the top. All right? The scum is cast away. The impurities are tossed aside. And what is beneficial remains. That is the example Allah gives us. What is He referring to? He's referring to the life of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca. The scum, the riverbed is filled with water. The heat of the confrontation with the Prophet ﷺ is bringing about it's removing the pure and separating it from the impure. And they're rising to the surface like scum. They're loud. They're leading the charge against the Prophet ﷺ. But be in no doubt, the scum is cast away. What remains behind is the pure, the thing that is good for mankind. And that's the Sahaba. They were the ones who survived. Their message prevailed. Their da'wah prevailed. Their cause prevailed. Because that is of benefit to mankind. So it's actually a metaphor for the life of the Prophet ﷺ. But also is a beautiful example that you focus on good. You focus on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever good you can do. You don't worry about distractions. Because whatever is scum, whatever is filth, whatever is negativity will not remain. What will remain is what is useful for humanity. People remember the useful stuff, the contributions. We celebrate them. We don't remember the ones who were sabotaging those people. We don't remember them. فَأَمَّا زَبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. Very beautiful example. There's actually a lot more we could unpack there, but I don't have time to do that. But it is one of the most profound examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the Quran. Okay, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His signs, through His words. Recognize Him through the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ الْحُسْنَى. Right? Recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people that believe in Him. Okay? These are people, right? Who are these people? أَلَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ. Ayah 20. They are true to their word. They never break their promise. They join together what God has commanded to be joined. يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِأَنْ يُوصَلْ. They keep family ties. وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. They fear the Lord. They are they're afraid of a harsh punishment. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوَ الْحِسَابِ. They are patient. وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ. Patient in seeking the favor of their Lord. Right? It's okay. Life is going to have ups and downs. Be patient. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ. But they pray regularly. They never waver. وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. They spend secretly and openly out of what we have provided them. They help people publicly to inspire, privately to help. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. They ward off evil with good. Someone treats them in an evil manner, they don't respond by humiliating that person. They treat them with kindness and goodness. They will have the final abode. What is that? Jannatu Adin. They shall enter the eternal gardens of Eden, along with the righteous. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ. The righteous from among their fathers, wives, and descendants. How amazing. Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reunite the entire family. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. Angels will come from all gates, saying to them, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Peace be upon you, because you were patient. بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ. You were able to bear the difficulties of life, and you were able to do that well, with a smile on your face. فَنِعْمَ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. And how beautiful is that abode. You recognize Allah through His people. How amazing is that? The surah concludes with a very interesting example, a very interesting statement to the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ayah number 40, وَمَّا نُرِيَنَّكَ بَعْضَ الَّذِينَ نَعِدُهُمْ أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابِ. It says, whether we show you part of what we have promised them or cause you to pass away before that, your mission is only to give warning, and it is us, for us to do the reckoning. The Prophet, your job is to convey the message. Your job is to tell people this is the deen. They choose their own, they make their own decision. And whether we make you see the end result or not, O Prophet of Allah, that shouldn't be your concern. The end goal shouldn't be your concern. Your concern should be what is in front of me. Did I do that well enough? That immediate task at hand. And if Allah will take care of the bigger picture. Okay. The disbelievers say, ayah number 43, لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. You are not God's messenger. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Sufficient is God as a witness between me and you and those who have knowledge of the book. Okay, so that is Surah Ar-Ra'd. If I can just have a couple of minutes to also highlight a few things about Ibrahim, Surah Ibrahim. It's a very powerful surah. It is demonstrating the attitude of gratitude. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. It is to lead men from darkness to light. That is the attitude of gratitude. It takes you out of the darkness of anxiety. It takes you out of the darkness of negativity. It takes you out of the darkness of disbelief and ungratefulness to the light of Iman, to the path of the mighty, the praiseworthy. It speaks about what's the central reason for disbelief. Why would people disbelieve? Right? يستحبون الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة. At the core, love this life more than the hereafter. That's the core reason. That's the core reason that they would do that. ويبغونها عوجا. They turn away people from the path of God and seek to make it crooked. أولئك في ضلال بعيد. They have gone far astray. An interesting thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that every messenger has been sent in the language of his own people, لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ, to make the message clear to them. Here is an example. Musa alayhi salam was sent to his people and he was told, ayah number 7, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. When your Lord declared, if you are grateful, I will surely bestow more favors upon you. But if you are ungrateful, فَإِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, then my punishment is indeed severe. SubhanAllah. Musa alayhi salam is reminding them to have gratitude. Even though, you know, these people have suffered a lot, Musa reminds them, you suffered, Allah saved you from your suffering. Be thankful. Have gratitude. And he says, if you have this attitude of gratitude, Allah will give you even more. But if you don't, you hurt yourself and no one else. إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. If you shall deny the truth or you be ungrateful, then you and everybody on earth, Allah doesn't need you. He is self-sufficient. He is praiseworthy by himself. Okay. The surah has a very epic scene from the fire of hell that I want to share with you. Okay. And this is no other place in the Quran, so I want to share this with you quickly, inshallah. Okay. وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, ayah number 21. This is in the fire of hell. They will appear before God, and the weak will say to those who behave proudly, فَقَالَ الدُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا لَكُمْ تَبَعًا, we were your followers. Can you protect us from God's punishment today? Hey, we were behind you and following you and doing what you said in the world. Today, can you help us and protect us? قَالُوا لَوْ هَدَانَ اللَّهُ لَهَدَيْنَاكُمْ, they will reply, had God given us guidance, we would have guided you. It is all the same whether we are patient or impatient. Today, there is no escape. It doesn't matter if we are, it makes no difference what we do. Today, we are going to be punished and we have no escape. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانِ, and now the devil, Satan, when the judgment has been passed, when people are in the fire of hell, Satan will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ, God made you a true promise. I too made you promises, but I failed you. I lied to you. I had no authority over you. وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. This is important. Please understand this. The devil has no authority over you. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ, except that I called you. I whispered sweet nothings in your ears. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي, and you responded to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي, do not blame me now. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, but blame yourselves. It's your fault. Don't blame me. The weak people, don't blame the powerful rich people. You chose. مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ, I cannot help you, nor can you help me. I reject your former act in associating me with God. وَإِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, the wrongdoers will have a painful punishment. The punishment of the physical torture, the eternity of pain, but not just that, but the psychological torture. The devil is going to disown them. And he would say, it's your fault. And the double whammy of regret and pain that they will feel is عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, truly painful punishment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save the believers and enter them into paradise, the ones who did believed and did good. تحيتهم فيها سلام, they will be welcomed in there by the greeting of peace. It will be happiness and joy, no pain, no suffering. This surah concludes with Ibrahim alayhi salam being mentioned. Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned first. Allah says, ayah 34, he gave you everything that you asked for, and if you were to recount God's favors, you will not be able to count them. Surely man is extremely unjust and extremely ungrateful. We forget our blessings very quickly. But the man who never forgot his blessings was Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, my Lord, make this a city of peace. رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا, make this a city of peace. Help me, my children, to keep away from worshipping idols. My Lord, these idols have led many men astray. Anyone who follows me is with me, but if they are against me, you are forgiving and merciful. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Look at this. Here he is, after having a son so late in his life, told to leave his children, leave his wife and child in the barren valley of Makkah. And he's not complaining about that. He's like, oh no, why me, Allah? I did everything, please. I did everything right. Why? How come I'm being punished? He says, no. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, I have settled some of my offspring in an uncultivable valley near your sacred house. ربنا ليقيم الصلاة so that they may establish prayers. Wallah, help them. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Make people's hearts inclined towards them. Provide them with fruits. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِّنْ ثَمَرَاتٍ. Meaning, their basic necessities and luxuries. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So they can be grateful. When they are happy and content, Allah term, let them be grateful. Let them be surrounded by people who love them so they can be grateful. Let them establish the prayer so that they can be grateful. The attitude of gratitude. Look at what Ibrahim al-Islam says. He says, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, الذي وهب لي على الكبر إسماعيل وإسحاق, who has bestowed upon me, despite my old age, Ismail and Ishaq, Ishmael and Isaac. He's not saying, hey Allah, how come I had a child so late in life? How come this happened to me? Why did this happen to me? No, he's like, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me a child despite my old age. That's the attitude of gratitude. Not complaining. Being thankful. Inna Rabbi la sami'u du'a. Surely my Lord is the hearer of prayer. And a very beautiful du'a to conclude for this long session today. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. Lord, grant that I keep up the prayer. Make me the one who prays regularly in the proper way, in the right way, with the, you know, with meaning and purpose. That's what iqamatu salah means. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salah. And also my offspring, my kids, my grandkids, wallah, make them people who are praying. And that's nothing better than we can ask Allah for. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a, my Lord, accept my prayer. Rabbana ghafir li, forgive me, my Lord. Wali walidayya, and forgive my parents. Walil mu'minina yawma yaqoomul hisab, and all the believers on the Day of Judgment. Again, this is a beautiful du'a. Underline that and make it. Jazakumullah khairan for being with me all the way to the end today. We had a little bit more to cover today, but I'm glad we were able to do it. Jazakumullah khairan. I'll see you again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.